We're up to Torah Chof Kuf Hey. Rav Nosson Zal says, Shomati Me'echot, I heard from a person, Shehiz Hiroisoi, that Rabbeinu Zal warned him, Sheishtadel La'ayin B'Torosoi, that the person should make every effort to delve deeply into Rabbeinu Zal's Torahs. In other words, to study it deeply. V'yira L'chadesh B'Torosoi Eze Dovor. And the person should strive to be mechadish something in Rabbeinu Zal's words. When we say to be mechadish, it means the concept of looking into Rabbeinu Zal's teachings deeply and well enough to be able to take different parts from different places and combine them to come forth with new ideas, new concepts. Certainly not something that would affect the Shulchan Aruch, Chas v'Shalom, nothing that would change Halacha in any way, but to be mechadish an item in Torah. Kasher hizhir al zeh lekama v'kama me'anoshov. As Rabbeinu Zal had advised many of his Talmidim regarding the importance of this, how important it is and how good an idea it is to try to be zeche, to be mechadish in Torah, to come forth with new concepts by putting together different items in different places within Gemara, within Torah, especially within Rabbeinu Zal's teachings. The Omar Loi, and Rabbeinu Zal said to this student in particular, that Rav Nosson Zal is quoting, Im tizke lechavein el toichen kavanosi b'toirosi ma toiv. Rabbeinu Zal said to this student, if you'll be zeche to get to know actually exactly what I meant to say in my teachings, excellent. That's very, very good. And even if you won't be zeche to get to know exactly the full depth of what I had in mind at the time that I gave this shir, afal pikein, still, toiv ma'oid kishezechen l'chadei shezet dovor b'toiro. It's still a very, very good thing when a person is zeichet to be mechadish something in Torah. So that this means, Rabbeinu Zal was saying, if it's a chiddush that I had in mind at the time that I was saying these shiurim, excellent. If it's not, even if it's not, it's still very, very good. Kihu tikkun godol lehirhurim. Because Rabbeinu Zal said, this mitzvah, this zuchus of being zeichet to be mechadish in Torah, this is something that serves as a tremendous tshuva and a tremendous tikkun, a correction for any bad thoughts that a person has. If a person has thoughts of sin, specifically related to taivas noshim, that type of item, Rabbeinu Zal says that being zeichet to be mechadish in Torah is a very big tikkun for that. And Rabbeinu Zal explained why. Ki kol ha-hirhurim boim al yidei koyach ha-medameh. Because the whole concept of hirhurim roim comes through a person's power of imagination. A person fantasizes, that's the word, which is called medame in Hebrew. V'al yidei shemechadshin ezedova b'toirah, and through a person being mechadish, a thought in Torah. Sheze bechinas medame milsa la milsa, where the word, the Hebrew word medame, also applies, because the word medame in Hebrew means fantasy or imagination. The word medame also means the power of bringing together, taking two items and showing a similarity between the two, showing how they're actually saying the same thing. For example, you have a Talmud Chochem who takes two Gemaras in Shas, which seem to be not related to each other, and he shows a connection, he shows how one is actually saying the same thing as the other in a different form, a different variation. These are the kind of chidushim that Rabbeinu Zal is talking about here, where a person takes two items that appear in two different places that don't seem related, and the person shows how they are related. Well, the person builds a whole chidush on it. He builds a whole building of knowledge, a thought, a major thought, or a series of thoughts on such a combination. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Al yidei zeh mesaknin pegam ha-hirhurim sheboim al yidei ha-medame." Therefore, through this concept of being mechadish in Torah, which is an inyan of medame milsa milsa, which is an inyan of comparing two items, that's called medame. Through that, the person is zeicha to effect a tikkun for hirhurim, which come from the koyach hamedame, where the Hebrew word medame is also used to refer to that power of fantasy, imagination. Now, Rav Nosson Zal adds, gam onechi, this is what I heard from one of Rabbein Zal's students. That's what he had said. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says, gam onechi bi'atzmi shamati, mipiv hakodesh, kama v'kama pomim, I also heard from Rabbein Zal's own mouth many times, shehizhir ma'oid l'chadesh b'torah, that Rabbein Zal warned his Talmidim very much about how important an item it is to be mechadesh in Torah, to come forth with new explanations and new clarifications in Torah. The Omar and Rabbein Zal said, Shehu tikkun godol ma'oid ma'oid al ha'ovar, that this is considered to be a very, very great correction for any misdeeds that a person did in the past, anything that a person did wrong in the past. That's number one. The Omar and Rabbein Zal said, Shafilu dipur echod levad, kishezeichen lechadesh, hu gam kein toiv moid. Even one sentence, if a yid is zeichet to be mechadesh, even a short chiddish in Torah, that's also very, very good. It's also a very, very good item. For example, our Rebbe Zichron Avrocha said that even as a child, there were different chidushim that he came up. He once mentioned that we say at the end of benching, Nar hoyisi gam zokanti v'loy roisi tzadik nezo v'zari mevakesh lochem. I was a youth, and I got older, and I never saw a tzaddik that was looking for bread, that was starving. No, it was that he was forced to go searching for bread. And then it says before that, Boruch hagever asher yiftach b'Hashem. Fortunate is the person that zeichet to have bitochin in Hashem. Boruch hagever asher yiftach b'Hashem, voya Hashem eftachoy. It says, fortunate is the person that zeichet to trust in Hashem. Nar hoyisi gam zokanti v'lo yirisi tzadik nezov. I was a youth and I got older and I never saw a tzadik going around looking for food. The question is, what tzadik is this talking about? So Rabbi Zal said, he thought into this and he saw that the word gever is bigimatria tzadik. So that over there when it says, Boruch hagever asher yiftach b'Hashem, that fortunate, blessed is the gever who trusts in Hashem, that's what that person, that gever who trusts in Hashem, is the one about whom the following posuk says, "Nar hoyisi gam zokanti v'lo yirisi tzadik nezov." That I never saw a tzaddik who was forsaken. Why wasn't he forsaken? Because he had bitochen in Hashem. That's why he wasn't forsaken. This is a small example. You know, there are many, many other cases where a person takes an item in Gemara that seems to be talking about a certain subject. It's talking about blood being spilled, let's say the blood of a korban being spilled, and he refers it to an avera, to an issue of embarrassing a Jew publicly, which is also a concept of blood being spilled. Something like that. Different associations that are made in Torah by one who has a certain, at least, a certain minimal basic level of knowledge and understanding in Torah. Ki hu tikkun godol ma'od. Because Rabbein Zal said, this item of being mechadesh in Torah is a very, very great tikkun. Gam, also, Omar, Rabbein Zal said, shehu toivo lenishmas avoisov shekvar nistalku, that it's a tremendous benefit to the neshama of one's parents that have passed away when a child is zeichet to be mechadesh in Torah. This is something that the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about several times, that it's a tremendous, that a person who has parents that have passed away, one of the greatest things possible that a person could do to bring about an aliyah for their neshama is if the child is zeichet to be mechadesh in Torah. Any chiddush that the child says in Torah, the Zohar HaKadosh says that Hashem gathers together all the malochim in Shemaim and all the tzaddikim, and he says, look how proud the parents of this child have to be, that the child has been zeicha to get to a level of knowledge in Torah where the child is able to be mechadish, he's able to come forth with new ideas, new concepts, new pirushim in Torah. And that's something that brings about a tremendous, tremendous kavod to the parents of such a child. Baruch Hashem. Any questions?
This is why a lower level, or it's only talking about, a complete Talmud.
I think it's talking about, naturally, not depending on what the level it is, that's what determines how great it is, or how big a tikkun it is, or etc. But certainly it applies to each person on their level, 100%. As long as it's not something that's going against the Shulchan Aruch, as long as it's something that's of substance, of positive substance.
So the concept also, if a person is mechadish in his, avodas Hashem, it's a concept of chidush.
To a degree. Here I would prefer, in this item specifically, I would prefer not to say pshat l'chein, or more so to go very straight that Rabbeinu Zal here is referring to this concept of learning Torah well enough and deeply enough to get to understand it, to the point where you have to resolve a question, let's say a question that one Meforish asks against another Meforish and it's left unanswered, and a person is able to come up with providing a good answer for it, or other different types of chidushin.
We know that in reality all chidushim or Torah that a person really has is a gift from Shemayim. Why is this so valuable in Shemayim to this person if really they gave them as a gift?
I'll give an example of something that we learned recently that would possibly clarify this. We learned recently in a previous Torah that Rabbeinu Zal said that as great, as good an item as it is, when a tzaddik is zeichet to come to a great hasoga in Torah, to get to understand something deep and profound in Torah, it doesn't compare in any way to the nachas that it gives Hashem, and to the level of accomplishment of when a tzaddik is zeichet to give a shir in a certain item, if he's zeichet to present a certain item to the public. Now the question is why? What's the difference? What's the difference if he's presenting it to the public versus his being masik something in his mind? The answer is, it seems very clear, and this Rabbeinu Zal talks about in other places, that the concept of taking an item that's not known and revealing it, number one, that's in a person's own personal learning. When a human being who is at a certain level of knowledge, where a certain piece of knowledge is not known by him, and he studies and works, and he gets to know this item, it becomes revealed to him, that's considered an accomplishment. Question is, he didn't create anything, the Torah existed. The fact that he removed the blockage from his own head and made this Torah, which was originally to him, a chitzain, it was something on the outside of his mind, and he made it into pnimius, he brought it inside his brain, that's a major accomplishment. That's an elevation, that's an aliyah, that's a kavod to Hashem, etc. More so, much more so, when a person zeicha to take an item of Torah and reveal it to a tzibur, reveal it to a group, reveal it to the world, to write a sefer, something like that, that certainly is considered a tremendous kavod Hashem. Even though the Torah is coming from Hashem, and we know that all chidushei Torah were all taught to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. The Medrash says, "Vaydaber Elokim es kol hadvorim hoyla lemor." That's the opening pasuk of the Aseres Hadibros. The Medrash says, why does it say es kol hadvorim hoyla? Hashem said the following words. Why does it say Hashem said all of the following words? The Medrash says this comes to teach us that any item of Torah that any Novi or any Rabbi would bring forth until the coming of Mashiach, this was all taught to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. The fact that it was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, though, doesn't subtract at all from the nachas that Hashem gets when a Talmud Chacham, a rabbi living in his generation, in the 1500s, in the 1700s, uncovers a thought in Torah that wasn't known until his time, he reveals it, he comes to that chiddush, and number one, that's one major accomplishment. Number two is if he's zeicha to write it down in a sefer or to teach it to a tzibur.
If a regular yid is learning, it seems to him that he comes upon something that seems to be a chiddush in his learning. Is that something that he should do something to publicize or to speak with anybody, or is that something to just to keep to yourself?
The answer is, a person should certainly be cautious in checking themselves before a person assumes that their chidushim are valid or correct or proper, a person should certainly check it with somebody that's an authority. You see from the example of our own Rebbe Zichron Avrocha that he mentioned many cases that he came up with a chiddush in Torah, and he mentioned it to his rabbi to see what his opinion would be on it. And it was upon getting an approval from his rabbis that he accepted it to be a valid item, whether it be his father who was a big Talmud Chacham or his Rebbe's, that kind of item. That there is this concept of checking it with somebody authoritative, because Rabbein Zal does speak about the fact that there are false chidushim. There are people who come up with chidushim in Torah that come from the wrong side and that are not true chidushim. So a person would definitely want to be checking themselves to make sure that they're not just coming up with a koyach hamedame that's silly, that's tricking them into saying things that are foolish, that aren't really valid.
How could you tell if something is coming from the other side?
I believe that a person has to be a big Talmud Chacham, in other words, and very knowledgeable in the ways of the Torah, like very not very experienced, like in the Limud of the Torah, to be able to see whether this is along a proper line of thought or it's a crooked line of thought. In other words, I have heard from Talmidei Chachamim, from Rabbonim, that sometimes they'll hear a certain thing and they'll say that's krum, it's crooked. And they'll hear another thing and say, that's glatt, that's smooth, that's proper, that item. And a person has to be quite knowledgeable in Shas and Shulchan Aruch to have an idea, to be able to judge these types of items.
Let's just say the monks farm, the thing that came in my head, that Rav Nosson was only in the Chedesh Chidushim, when Rabbein Zal told him to get the Chedesh to do it, and he only wrote it down once Rabbein Zal told him to come.
Exactly. It is brought about Rav Nosson Zal also that at one point in time Rabbein Zal was giving a shir, and Rabbein Zal was explaining a certain item in Torah Vov and Likut Emran, and Rav Nosson Zal asked Rabbein Zal a question like, "Why is this and this?" So Rabbein Zal said to him, "Let's see you answer that question. Go home, think about it, and I want you to come up with the answer." Rav Nosson Zal writes that he went back to his inn where he was staying and he thought about it and he came up with an answer. And he came back to Rabbein Zal and he said it to him. And Rabbein Zal was very happy. Rabbein Zal said, "You're right." And Rabbein Zal said, "It looks like if you try, you are going to be able to learn very well." But Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbein Zal told him at the time that he has to put that, and Rabbein Zal spoke to him about this thing of being Mechadish in Torah. But Rav Nosson Zal writes clearly that he put it aside until Rabbein Zal told him sort of to put it aside until he would learn more Poskim, Shulchan Aruch, and Sifrei Kabbalah. And then afterwards, at a certain point, Rabbein Zal gave him a complete green light to go ahead and be Mechadish. And we see that that's basically what the Likutei Halachos is, where Rav Nosson Zal came forth with about 5,000 pages of Chidushim on the Shulchan Aruch. Now it's taking laws that are presented, halachos that are presented in Shulchan Aruch, and explaining them b'derech musar, showing how these laws, which seem, many of them, seem to be not related at all to a concept of musar, a concept of coming close to Hashem in an emotional way or something like that. And Rav Nosson Zal was able to show the connection between these seemingly dry halachos and the concept of coming close to Hashem, close to tzaddikim, tefillah, etc. That he's talking about what? Right, that what's the rule?
That if your Rebbe tells you...
I would say yes. Or if a person isn't told and they are Mechadish and then they check it with somebody and they see that the person says that this is valid, this is a good Chiddush, then they know that could be they're on the right path. And once a person has checked several times on themselves, then they can get a good idea whether they are capable of being Mechadish properly or not.
Rav Nosson Zal wrote the Likutei Halachos after Rabbein Zal was Nisan.
Some of it was written during Rabbein Zal's lifetime. The majority of it, I believe, was written after Rabbein Zal's Nisan. Some of the Halachos there, he writes, he wrote during Rabbein Zal's lifetime even.
Do you check with the Rebbe. I have to see if they're valid or not. When you said that, you have to check.
And during Rabbi Nazal's lifetime, he had many, many discussions with Rabbi Nazal on Torah, number one. And he saw that Rabbi Nazal definitely did approve of his derech in learning, number one. Plus, Rab Nosson Zal had tremendous shimush contact with many Talmidei Chachamim at that time, including his father-in-law, who was respected as one of the greatest dayonim at that time, Harav HaGoyin Rab David Tzvi Auerbach, who's known among the Litvish circles as one of the greatest goyinim at that time, tzaddikim and goyinim. And he took Rab Nosson Zal as a son-in-law at a very young age, 13, 14, that type of age, and he was grooming Rab Nosson Zal to take over his position even while he was alive, to be a dayon over a whole sector of Russia. Okay. Torah Kuf Vov. Rabbi Nazal says, Roy laharher bedivrei Torah b'shas zivug. It's very advisable for a husband to be thinking of divrei Torah at the time that he's with his wife. The afal pikein yuchal lohoilid bonim. And even though his mind is on that, even though his mind is on divrei Torah at the time, he will still be able to bring forth children. Afal pi shemachshavtoi tihye dvuka oz behurei Torah. Even though his mind is very, very dovuk, very attached to divrei Torah at the time, still, it will not prevent him in any way from being able to bring forth children. Because we know that the whole power to bring forth children originates from the brain. The tipo originates from the brain itself. So therefore, you might think that if the brain is completely in another place at that time, it could have a negative effect. And here, Rabbi Nazal stressed, based again on the Zohar HaKadosh, that on the contrary, this only has positive effects on the children that are coming forth. V'toiv ma'oid lahar gilatzmoy bekach. It's very, very good for a person to get used to doing this, for a person to orient themselves at that time, which could be a time when a person would say doesn't have concentration, it's difficult, etc. It's very, very choshu for a person to be able to see to it for that short unit of time, to make sure to attach their mind to an item in Torah. What type of item? According to the level that the person is on. If a person is able to attach his mind to think, to concentrate at the time on something substantial, matoy, very good. If not, b'di'evet, even if it's a posuk, a sentence in the Torah, or something like that, as long as the person knows that at that time their mind is on Torah, that has very, very beneficial effects on the type of child that comes forth, the neshama that's drawn down at the time that a person has that type of machshava, is certainly more pure and certainly has advantages. Versus a child being born from parents, they don't have this type of machshava. We have the concept which Dovra HaMelech says in Tehillim, uvecheit yamasni imi, that there is a concept of a child being born with a disadvantage in a sense, something that they have to fight to overcome, where we know that there is such an item. At the same time, we know that there are very great tzaddikim like Avraham Avinu and others who came forth from parents that weren't pure, and yet they were zeicha to rise to madrega of outstanding tzaddikim. So on one hand, it could definitely be a disadvantage if there were any impure thoughts, or if there weren't bedafka pure thoughts or thoughts of Torah at the time. However, it's not an insurmountable disadvantage. It's certainly something that can be overcome. Baruch Hashem. Torah Kuf Zayin. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Pam echo diber me'inyin mius v'harchokas ha'taivo ha'klolius shehi taivas niuf. One time, Rabbi Nazal was discussing how disgusting and how far a person has to stay away from the taivo ha'klolius, which is the taiva sniuf, the taiva, the illegal type of taiva for noshim. Ono v'omar, and Rabbi Nazal spoke up and said, Hine achilo al kolponim nitoisif lo'odom koyach v'chiyas al yidei zeh. When it comes to eating, we know that eating is something that there are people that have a taiva for. They're not eating just to stay alive. They're not eating because if you don't eat, you'll die. If a person doesn't eat for a few days, they'll die. They're eating because they enjoy food. They enjoy this. They enjoy that. They like to eat. That kind of thing. That's called a taiva. Taiva sachila, in the context that we're talking about it, is where a person has a desire over and above what they need to exist on. So Rabbi Nadal says, at least when it comes to taiva sachila, if you eat more food, usually it adds energy to the person. It gives the person more energy, more strength. Avol zois ha-taiva. But this taiva, haloi adarab, but just the opposite. Himafsedes umazekes hachiyas ma'oi. This item weakens the body. It's known that this activity is something that weakens the person. Umateshes koicha shilotam ma'oid. It's something that weakens the person very much. Bevadai ein tzrichen oiso klau kiyim b'shvil kiyum hamin levad. And therefore, it is definitely completely unnecessary other than for the purpose of bringing forth children, period. In other words, Rabbi Nazar presented this thought in a logical sense for a person to understand that look how unique this item is, this item which is a taiva, etc. But even begashmias, a person is being shown in a sense that this is a harmful thing. Another taiva, you could say, physically it builds up the body. I'll eat a little more, I'll get more strength, more energy. There's some type of svar over there. Although certainly if a person overeats to a ridiculous way, the Rambam Zal and others write that that's what the majority of sicknesses come from. So it certainly doesn't give the person strength. But at least there, normally, we associate food with strength, with energy. Whereas when it comes to this item, it's the opposite. This item takes away, it subtracts energy, it weakens. And therefore, that again should be a svara for a person to know to stay away from this item as much as possible, other than the minimal amount that's necessary for kiyum hamin. Baruch Hashem. And this is item that's brought in the Gemara many places, that when it comes to this item, the less is better. Personal fine mitzad health, mitzad shalom bayis, mitzad everything. The more a person can control themselves and be in control of this item, the more it definitely helps the person to maintain authority in the house, etc., etc., by being a ruler over themselves. Person zeichet to be a moishel al atzmo, he rules over himself, he controls himself, he doesn't give in to his taiva just stam like that. Usually, that's something that helps a person also in maintaining shalom bayis, etc. Naturally, it's understood that this has to be within the framework of the Torah. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch do discuss minimum, maximum, and guidelines ben ish lishtoy for a person to be able to know what the Torah suggests, what the Torah doesn't suggest. What's considered an extreme in either direction could be harmful. This is something that requires knowledge of Torah and shikul adas and etz ha-Torah. Baruch Hashem.
Can you clarify just one Torah before this in terms of machshava? I mean, it's not that certain, that you're not going to have Torah thoughts in certain places. I'm just unclear about why it would be permitted in this particular area.
The answer is, in a bathroom, a person is definitely not permitted to be thinking of Torah, because that's considered a disrespect to the Torah. In this case in particular, assuming that a person is conducting themselves with tznius in the matter that the Torah describes, a person definitely is permitted to be thinking of Torah. A person might not be permitted to be speaking, discussing the Divrei Torah, but to be maharher in Torah at this time is permitted and suggested in a very, very big way. Versus in a bathroom, where it's definitely forbidden 100%.
Discussing how it might affect the potential child.
Yes.
What happens in the case where the child
The answer is, there the Gemara says, and also the Sifrei Kabbalah discuss, that even when a woman is already pregnant, it is very important for a husband and wife, for the relations to continue, the reason being that it definitely physically and spiritually can enhance the child. No question. Enhance the growth spiritually and physically. This is again mentioned clearly in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. that that's not an excuse for a person to hold back, but rather to follow the advice, the recommendations of the Torah, and that definitely benefits the child that's being developed. Torah Kufches. Rav Nosenthal writes, Pam echod siper me'inyan ma'isa b'nei adam. One time, Rabbi Nosenthal was talking about how people act. Ono vi omar, and Rabbi Nosenthal spoke up and said, Haloi ho'odom b'shvil tainug koton echod shel reva shor hu yochoy la'abed u'lahafsid kol ho'ilom haze im ho'ilom habo. Rabbi Nosenthal was like saying, mocking people in a way. Rabbi Nosenthal was saying how foolish people are sometimes and how careful a person has to be. Because Rabbi Nosenthal was saying, like, for a foolish little taiva of 15 minutes, a person could destroy their whole Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. A short taiva that lasts a minimum amount of time, a person could destroy their whole life in this world and in the next world. V'omar b'loshen Ashkenaz b'zeh haloshen. And Rabbi Nosenthal said this in Yiddish in these exact words. A mensch von ein Teinigel wegen von a Viertel Shor ken onveren gor dem Olam Hazeh mit dem Olam Haba. A person, for a little taiva of a quarter of an hour, can forfeit their Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And this is a thing that we know is true. People read in newspapers, people read stories of people who fell into this item, Rachmona Litzlan, and it's found out, and a person finds that they destroy their whole life, family, children, the whole life, Rachmona Litzlan, gets taken apart, dismembered into little pieces because of a taiva, where the nature of this taiva is it lasts a very limited time, period. Generally, normally, a 15-minute item, period, that's it. These were Rabbi Nosenthal's words. The Parporois L'Chochma, to show that when a tzaddik like Rabbi Nosenthal makes a statement, the Gemara says when a Talmud Chochem speaks, you have to take his words with a magnifying glass. You know, every word he says, there's Torah in it, and there's depth in it that you don't necessarily see on the surface unless you're knowledgeable in Torah. One of the Sifrei Kabbalah is the Medrash Talpiyos, and in there is brought many interesting chidushim. The Medrash Talpiyos, in one of the chapters there, one of the sections, discusses the fact that the Pusik says, Vayihi Er Ra Bi'enei Hashem, Vayimiseu Hashem, that Er, one of the sons of Yehuda, was Ra Bi'enei Hashem, he was evil in the eyes of Hashem, and Hashem killed him, Vayimiseu Hashem. We've mentioned many, many times that the name, a name of a Jew, is something that's very, very choshu. The name says a lot about the person. Note here that his name was Er, Ayin Reish, and the Torah testifies that he was Ra, he was evil, Reish Ayin. And it's definitely alluded to in his name. He was named this way because Hashem knew that this child was going to represent Ra. What type of Ra? The Gemara says very clearly that he married a woman who was exceptionally, a woman of exceptional beauty, and as such he felt that if she were to become pregnant, it would mar her looks, it would hurt her looks, and therefore he tried specifically not to allow that to happen, period. So the Torah says that that sin is called Ra B'Enei Hashem, very evil. So the Medrash Talpiyos writes, you'll note that according to the Jews, we tell time differently from Lahavdil the Goyim. The Goyim have this unit of hours and seconds, whereby an hour consists of 60 minutes, a minute consists of 60 seconds, so that the hour is divided up into 3,600 seconds. 60 times 60, 60 minutes, each minute is 60 seconds, so an hour is divided into 3,600 parts. According to the Yidden, according to the Torah, according to the Gemara, the hour is divided into Tatraf Chalokim, 1,080 seconds or parts. Obviously, 1 second, according to Jewish time, is 3 1/3 seconds, because 1,080 times 3 1/3 equals 3,600. That's how we get to this count. Therefore, there is this Tatraf Chalukim, 1,080 Chalukim in an hour, which means that a quarter of an hour is a quarter of 1,080, is 270 exactly, Bigimatria Ra. And the Medrash Talpiyos brings this connection between this Ra, Vayhi Eir Ra Beinei Hashem, with this concept of a Revashur. This was this word that Rabbeinu Zal let out. Rabbeinu Zal said as a Stam statement, if you were knowledgeable in the Sifrei Kabbalah, you knew what he was referring to. If not, it sounds like Stam, a statement which is accurate. Stam, it's accurate as a statement, but you see, this is the difference in how knowledgeable a student is. If a student is not a Talmud Chacham, he can be listening to a rabbi speaking, and he doesn't even realize how deep the rabbi's words are. The rabbi's talking where it seems he's talking on a regular level, and he doesn't realize that in the rabbi's words he's slipping in all kinds of interesting things based on his knowledge of Sifrei Kabbalah, etc. Here, Rabbeinu Zal was definitely alluding to this item also, this chiddush, that it's not stam, that this taiva is associated with a Rev HaShur, because this item could, chas v'sholem, be classified as the epitome of Ra. The term Ra, stam, is associated with this item in particular. Why Badafka is the Jewish time divided into 1,080 chalokin? Why they pick that number? Again, if a person learns Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, you walk away without knowing the answer to this question whatsoever. If a person is privileged to learn the Zohar HaKadosh, the Sifrei Kabbalah, it's explained clearly how time relates to the sphere of Malchus. Malchus is Tzimtzum. Malchus represents constriction. And Malchus is considered in certain respects to be one level below Tiferes. Because when we talk about the Yichud of Zeranpin and Nukva de Zeranpin, when we talk about the Yichud of Zeranpin and Malchus, many times it's referred to as the Yichud between Tiferes and Malchus. Tiferes is referred to as the Zohar, Malchus is referred to as the concept of Nekeva. Tiferes is above, Malchus is right below it. Tiferes is Tof Pei Aleph Resh Tov. Therefore, Malchus is Tuf Resh Pei, is 1,080. Therefore, Malchus is one less than Tiferes, which is this 1,080. This is part of the basis why time, according to Yidden, is divided into that unit of time. The Zohar HaKadosh explains the word Shor. Why is an hour called a Shor Bedafka? Why are there Bedafka 365 days in the solar calendar? The Zohar HaKadosh shows how this corresponds clearly to the Sphiros. Shor is Shin Ayin He. Shin represents the three upper Sphiros. The Ayin represents the seven lower Sphiros. And the He represents the Malchus, the Nekeva. And so too, the 365 days of the year, you have the Shin, the Samach, referring to the six Sphiros of Zeranpin, and the He being the Malchus in that context. The Tikkuni Zohar explains clearly, in detail, exactly why it is this way and exactly what it represents. Halavai, we should be zeichet to believe in and to get to understand the true depth of the Torah. Baruch Hashem. Next. Torah Kuf Tes. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Siper imi me'inyan kever habal shem tov zecher tzadik v'kodesh levrocha. Rabbeinu Zal spoke with me about the grave of the Baal Shem Tov. Shetoiv ma'oid lihiyos shoma al kivroi. That it's very, very good for a person to be zecher, to be privileged to be at the grave of the Baal Shem Tov. V'omar, and Rabbeinu Zal said, ki tzadikim yirshu eretz. There's a pasuk that says that tzadikim inherit the land. Haynu hatzadikim amitim yorshim eretz Yisrael. This means that the true tzadikim inherit eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? Shezeichim, they are zeiche shemokim gnizosom hu kodosh bekdushas eretz Yisrael mamish. That the place where they're buried is considered to be exactly as holy as Eretz Yisrael itself. If a person is zoche to go to a grave of a true tzaddik that's buried even outside of Eretz Yisrael, his grave has a status of the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael who tiken godoy lepigam habris, and Eretz Yisrael is considered to be a very major tiken for pigam habris. The Chiper Admosay Amoy, the Pasuk says, that the Adoma, the land of Eretz Yisrael, forgives. It has a power to forgive for sins. If a Jew is zeichet to find themselves in Eretz Yisrael, and to be conscious of this, to be aware of this, that I believe be'emunah shlema that the karka of Eretz Yisrael is kodesh, it's holy, and it has the power to shine into me, tikkun habris, has the power to forgive for sins, then it certainly can help a person in that way. And so too, especially, if a person is zeichet to go to kivrei tzadikim, even in chutz laretz, and especially in Eretz Yisrael, it certainly helps a person. It certainly is a very major tikkun for this item. Interestingly, certainly not by coincidence, I was cleaning for Pesach today, and I came across a picture that I had seen once before a few years ago. Rebbe Zal once received as a gift from somebody who had gone to Russia a picture of the Tzion of the Baal Shem Tov, and I came across this afternoon. If anybody wants to take a look. I don't know of anything like that. I believe Rebbe Zal was saying clearly that the Baal Shem Tov's grave has very great Kedusha. Now, we know that there is a connection between the Baal Shem Tov and the Arizal. There is a story that's brought, I believe, by one of the Baal Shem Tov's Talmidim, that there was once an incident where a child was sick, deathly sick, Rachmona Litzlan, and the Baal Shem Tov went to see this child, and the Baal Shem Tov walked over to the crib where this child was laying, and stared at this child and said, "Who am I?" And the child said, "Rabbi Yitzchok Luria, the Arizal." And the Baal Shem Tov said to this child, "You should live so. You should live and be well so." And the child had a refuah completely, implying that the Baal Shem Tov was acknowledging the connection between himself and the Arizal. We find in the Sefer Kech Ve'or, it's explained that there definitely is a connection between the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Arizal, the Baal Shem Tov, and Rabbeinu Zal, that these are definitely parts of one neshama, continuation of one neshama. Torah Kuf Yud. Rav Nosson Zal writes, "Shomati, I heard, she'ish echod shu'al oisoi, keitzad hu ha-bechira." Someone once asked Rabbeinu Zal, "What's bechira?" Bechira means free choice. But obviously this person was looking for Rabbeinu Zal to explain this deeply. Like, you know, what does that really mean? And what is it talking about? It's sort of what a free choice. Heshev loy bipshitus. And Rabbeinu Zal answered the person very, very simple. Shehabechira hi biyad ha'odam bipshitus. A person definitely has free choice. Very simple. Im roitze oise, vim einoy roitze, einoy oise. If a person wants, he does this mitzvah, or he does this avera. And if a person doesn't want, they won't do this avera, or they won't do this mitzvah. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, V'rashamti zois. I wrote this down for myself. In other words, Rav Nosson Zal stressing, I made sure to write this down. Ki hu dovor nitzrach ma'oid. Because this is something that a person needs very, very much. A person needs to know this very, very well. Ki kama bnei odom nevoichim bozeh ma'oid. There are many, many people that are confused about this, and they make a mistake about this. They're making a silly mistake, a very expensive mistake. Machmas shehem murgolim b'ma'aseim u'bedarcheim mine'ureihem ma'oid. Because they got very used to doing certain things. They picked up certain bad habits, or they got used to doing certain things from an early age. And therefore it seems to the person that I can't. You tell a person you have to change this side, I can't change this. I've been like this my whole life, I can't, there's no way I can change it. That answer, avul be'emes einoy kein. But the truth is that that's not true. That's baloney. It's nonsense. Ki bevadai yesh l'chol odom bechira tomid al kol dovor. Because Rav Nosson Zal writes that a person certainly, definitely, positively has bechira when it comes to anything, anytime, period. Meaning, u'kemoy shehu roitze oise. And as a person wants, that's what they do. V'chovein hadvorim ma'oid. And Rav Nosson Zal adds, understand this very, very well, because you're going to need this throughout your whole life. You're going to have to know this. Where a person comes up, certain things, they do a certain item. The Gemara says, Ovar v'shono nasis lekeheter. A person does an aveira, especially a child, that zeichet to have parents, where the parents teach the child not to do an aveira, not to tell a lie, let's say. And they teach the child how big a mitzvah it is every single time you tell the truth, and how much nachas Hashem gets. And even if it's something where you're going to get in trouble or something like that, still, there's a tremendous nachas to Hashem when a yid is zeichah not to tell a lie. A yid has an opportunity to lie and get themselves, and they don't. They'll tell the truth. And a person said, but so when until a person lies for the first time, every time they're careful and they're terrified from saying a lie. Then a person tells a lie one time, and the first time they say a lie, it feels so uncomfortable and so strange, and they're so worried. What if? So? And then if a person does it a second time, or a third time, suddenly it becomes not such a big deal anymore. And then a person gets used to it, and it becomes like it's impossible. Like, how could you say never tell a lie? I can't. It's so hard, and it. Why? Because a person, once he did it a second time, it became much easier. A person starts thinking, maybe it's not so bad, not so terrible, that kind of thing. And Rabbeinu Zal's warning us here in a very big way to know that you should know no matter how many times you do something, you still have Bechira each time. And for every single time that a person does an Avera, he's going to be held responsible. It's not that you're going to be able to say, well, once I did it 500 times, the 501th time I couldn't really stop myself. That's baloney. The 501st time when this was presented to you, you had the option to, the 501st time, you had the option to say yes, thank you very much, or no, thank you very much, period. And if a person doesn't, the person knows that they're doing it to themselves. Where do we have an example of this coming up in Sipurei Maaseis? If you recall, in the Maaseh Miravu Ben Yochid, at the end, when he ended up seeing the Seicha, that businessman who originally had spoken against the tzaddik and everything, and then the Seicha said to him, if you want, I will swallow you. Im tirtzi, if you want, I'll swallow you. Those are the words there. And Rabbi Yechaim Zechet Tzadik Levrocha, Wally Breslau, when they learn that story, they underline that thing, if you want. The Soton, anytime the Soton comes to a person to get the person to do something, that's always the introduction. If you want, etc., etc. And a person has the, this is the point that Rabbeinu is all stressing here, that you have the opportunity to say, I don't want. Ein dover oimed b'fnei harotzayin. Elomai, why doesn't a person? Because a person is short in rotzayin. A person is lacking in rotzayin toiv, in wanting to do the right thing. And therefore, Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, in many, many, many places, he writes pages and pages begging us, literally begging us, in his Hespedidus, to emphasize this very much, that you have to beg Hashem to be zeicha, to want the right things. To ask Hashem, please let me be zeicha, that I should want what I'm supposed to want, and I should not want what I'm not supposed to want. If this is treif, if this is against you, Hashem, let me be zeicha that I shouldn't want it in any way. So when the Sultan says, would you like, the answer is no, thank you, I don't want. Lo rotze, I don't want. And this is something that a person has to be mispalel for, because this is something that Hashem could put into a person. You have two people sitting in front of the same thing. One person likes this, another person hates it. Another person despises it. Comes to sitting down to learn. One person, you ask him, you want to sit down to learn? I'd rather play ball anytime, or I'd rather eat, or I'd rather do this, or anything else. And another person enjoys this very much. And the second they have an opportunity, they run to do it. Why? Because they have these different things inside. This one has a rotzayin for toiv, and this one has a rotzayin for the opposite. And this is something that a person has to work on a lot, throughout our whole lives, begging Hashem to be zeicha, to want the right thing. So that in dealing with bechira, in dealing with this free choice, I should be zeichet to the ubocharta b'chaim. I should be zeichet to choose the right thing. Because it is my choice, 100%. I have the choice, I have the option to say no at any point in time, or to say yes at any point in time. And if you see Rav Nosson Zal using this kind of wording, v'roshamti zeh la'atzmi, v'chovein advorim ma'oid, you know that this is a foundation in Breslov. This is a foundation in Yahadus to know, to be very aware of this concept that's being presented here and how serious it is.
When he talks about free will, is he only limiting the definition to one sense of wanting, not wanting, as opposed to the fact he says somewhere else there's really no definition that anyone can understand what free will is? And also, it says in the Gemara,
one second. To answer that question, Rav Benazal says in another place that there's no one who understands how to correlate Bechira and Yediyah. Bechira we understand. There's no, Rav Benazal said here that with Bechira, don't give me any pshetels on it. It's straight, simple, zoom, period. It's a matter of correlating, figuring out how it's possible that today at 5 to 9, I have a choice right now whether I'm going to eat this treif item or not eat it. How could you say that and say at the same time that yesterday Hashem knew exactly what I was going to do today? How is it possible for Hashem to know everything that's going to be in the future, and yet you're going to tell me that when the time comes, when this test is presented to me, I have a choice, yes or no? How could I choose no if Hashem knows from yesterday that I'm going to choose yes? That's the mavucha, that's the paradox that the Zohar HaKadosh and many philosophies form, Lahavdil, and many other things, speak about a lot and delve into, etc. And Rav Enazal said that that item, I challenge anybody to give me an answer on it. Because Rav Enazal said, any answer you give me, I'll show your answer is baloney. Because this item will not be understood until Moshiach comes. The connection between these two, how it's possible for there to be Yediyah and Bechira. But Bechira itself is exactly what Rav Enazal is presenting here. It means that a human being is in a position, every minute, every second of his life, he's being offered things by his Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, and he has the option every minute, every second to say yes, no, no, yes, 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 no. Option every minute to agree or disagree.
The predetermination where a person is going to live, what he owns, where he's going to be. And we hear from the story of the Baal Shem Tov, that belief. We see from this that a person doesn't have a free choice where he's going to go, what he's going to do, what he's going to own, things like this.
We do have a free choice.
I heard on the tapes from Rosenberg that he said that this is not your free choice.
That what is not your free choice?
You're going to live, because I should have put it in your mind that you want to live in a certain place, you have to go there.
That's hashkocha proti. Because the story with the leaf for the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov showed his Talmidim a leaf falling off a tree and have a leaf blew from one place to the next and everything, and how that leaf ended up being in a certain place where it had to perform a certain mission, etc. He wanted to show them that even something as simple as this, a leaf blowing off a tree, is not without a purpose, it's not without a reason, and it's not something that's not being directed clearly by Hashem himself, Kav Yoho. That's Hashkocha Proti, that's one akuda. Then there's an item of certain things being predetermined in Shemayim, who's going to marry who, something like that. That's a second thing, certain things that are predetermined from Hashem. Then there's a third item, the power to do good or to do bad, to choose right or wrong, good or bad. That's where Bechira comes into play. Where Rabbi Nezal is saying every Jew should know that they are in a position every single day, a person is being tested again and again, whether they're going to do mitzvahs or averos, good, bad, right, wrong. And each time that a test is presented, a person does have the option to say, I want, I don't want, whether it be to the mitzvah or to the avera.
You say that certain things are predetermined, that such as who's going to marry who, but even that could be abused.
Exactly. Even that can be changed in a sense, person can, through tefillah, even override that in a harmful way, you know, etc. Or the case of Leah, who saw Baruch HaKadosh that she was destined to marry Esav, and again, through tefillah, she was misgaber on it, and she was able to get whatever she had to get from him through other ways. Baruch Hashem.